The Boy with the Muddy Mouth. Ted rechecked the coils of rope dangling from his gloved fingers, pressed his knees tightly against his horse's back, and jammed his hat low over his eyebrows. Then he gave a sharp nod to the man standing by the wooden gate off to his right. Like the discharge from a rifle, a calf exploded from its pin and shot out across the soft soil carpeting the corral. Ted's horse hesitated but half a second before bolting after the fleeing animal. In the blink of an eye, mare and cow were in position as the rider twirled his lasso above his head. An undulating noose sailed out and down, slamming against the calf's back before flipping around its neck. "I've got him!" the teenage rider triumphed to himself as he felt his horse's front legs lock straight and her back legs fold, resulting in a sudden and skidding halt. Ted didn't wait for the animal to come to a complete stop. He was out of the saddle and racing forward, eyes on his prize, ready to grab the hapless calf and in well-practiced motion flip it on its back and coil the rope around its thrashing hooves before raising his arms in victory. Just before reaching the young heifer, he saw the loop of his rope slip from the gyrating neck, rebound in his direction, and before he could do anything about it, wrap itself neatly around one of his boots. In a heartbeat, he was jerked to the ground and found himself being pulled through the mud and dirt by his faithful horse, who understood that it was her job to keep tension on the rope. The fact that it was her rider and not the calf ensnared at the far end of the lariat made no difference. "Shadow, stop!" Ted yelled. Stumbling to his feet, the teenager screamed the command again, this time venting his embarrassment with a few choice words he'd learned from the older and more experienced riders on the ranch. The expression sprayed from his lips along with a collection of mud clods and other assorted properties scooped up by his chin as he had been dragged through the soil. Shadow ceased pulling, and the rope dropped limply to the ground. Uttering a few more carefully selected declarations, Ted untangled his foot from the lasso and angrily tossed the coils at his horse. That's when he heard the laughter. "Hey, Ted!" a strong male voice called from atop a nearby fence. "I think you just set a new world record for a cowboy roping and tying himself." "Yeah," another shouted, barely able to speak above his mirth. "You might want to teach me that one so the next time I'm out with the herd and get tempted to head into town early, I can rope myself to my horse and stay on the job a few hours longer." Even Ted had to smile at that last observation. Approaching the corral gate, he was startled to see Tricia Parker, the ranch owner's youngest and most beautiful daughter, staring back at him. He was about to say hello when she spoke. "You've got mud in your mouth," she said in a voice as cold as the Alberta nights. And, she paused, "you've got mud in your brain, too." Ted blinked. "What'd I say?" "It's not worth repeating. Just do your talking with someone else. I don't like mud, understand?" The young cowboy stood stunned as he watched the girl jump down from the fence and walk away. All summer, he'd been doing his best to catch her eye. Ted was convinced that in all of Canada, there was no one that could match her warm brown eyes and gentle smile. But now the warmth and gentleness were gone, replaced by what appeared to be an expression of genuine hurt and disappointment.
"Hey, cowboy, you okay?"
The ranch foreman walked up beside the teenager with Shadow in tow. Ted nodded. "What's with Tricia? She just told me to get lost. What have I done to her?" The foreman glanced at the retreating girl and back at his young friend.
"Well, you kind of let loose a few back there."
"A few what?"
"Words, you know, after you successfully roped yourself, which I might add was a pretty impressive trick. We should see if we can introduce it as an event at the rodeo in Calgary next month."
"What words?" Ted pressed, ignoring his friend's attempt at humor.
"Well, let's see. You reviewed your horse's family tree, as well as suggested that its actions shared a lot in common with what we walk in every day."
The young rider lifted his hand. "So? All the cowboys in the ranch talk like that." The foreman tilted his hat back and squinted up at the afternoon sun.
"Maybe that's it. You're not all the cowboys on the ranch."
Ted stared at his companion for a long moment, then let out a frustrated sigh. "You just can't win in this life. The guys accept me because I can cuss like them, and Tricia hates me for the same reason. How am I supposed to impress my friends and Miss Virgin Ears all at the same time?" The foreman handed over Shadow's reins.
"Maybe you can't," he stated.
Then with a glance at the boy's mud-cake boot, he walked away, chuckling to himself. That night, staring up at the stars, Ted felt suddenly lonely. He remembered a promise he'd made a few years back while attending a Christian school many miles away. Just before being lowered into the water of the baptismal tank,
He'd said he was going to do his best to be a good example. Along with others in the Bible class, he determined to always speak God's name with respect and reverence. But something had happened to him during the past summer. He'd met men he admired and discovered that they accepted him more when he spoke as they spoke, coloring his sentences with spicy expressions and emotion-driven words. He'd convinced himself that they were harmless enough. Deep down, he knew better. God's name was holy, and some words were better left unsaid. It had become painfully clear to him that if Tricia didn't appreciate his language, his Heavenly Father would most certainly feel the same way. He'd been sacrificing his relationship with both so the guys on the ranch would think he's one of them. Gazing up at the stars that night, Ted began to realize that being one of the guys carried with it a very big price tag. The next morning, Tricia was startled to see a collection of sweet-smelling wildflowers resting on the bench just outside her horse's stall. A small note fluttered to the ground as she picked them up. "Dear Tricia," the message read, "mud is for growing flowers. Please forgive me. I promise that, from now on, your ears will be safe around me. Can we be friends? Sincerely, Ted." The girl lifted the blossoms to her face and drank in their sweetness. Then she quickly saddled her horse. The team would be in the North Range. There was one among them who deserved a personal thank you.